Science Goes Podcast. Ideas and tips for everyone who podcasts about science. This time in English. And still with Christiane Zwick. Today, dear science podcasters, it's once again about what becomes audible in the podcast alongside the voice. In the last few episodes, you were able to experience what sound and atmospheres can do for your podcast and how you can capture them. Today, it's getting more basic. We're going to listen to the space that determines the sound of every recording. That's why the episode is called Space and Sound. It's in English for a change because I'm meeting an acoustics researcher who comes from Turkey. Dr. Ayşe Glas currently teaches at Hafen City University in Hamburg. She has a doctorate in architecture and ensures the right sound in concert halls. She will introduce us podcasters to the effect of acoustics on sound recordings. Many podcasters go to a studio, or they have one, or they maybe record in a cupboard. Is dry sound in a recording always the best?
No. It depends on a for sure electronic quality. So the devices are very different on each other. But if we ignore that part of it and focus on the room, it depends on the function of the kind of interview or podcast, first of all. And acoustics is like such a sensitive area. It can change according to the cultures. It can change according to the personality. It can change according to the languages. So it depends on a lot of parameters.
We are in the cafe at the Hafen City University. There's also a piano here. Ayşe strikes a few keys. The students at their laptops look up briefly. The cafe is clearly not a concert hall, but it's ideal for exploring the behavior of a sound in space. I'm the first time here, and I thought it would be louder. I would have clicking sounds and chairs and lively atmosphere, hardly to understand you, but now it's quite okay. Have they done any sound engineering here?
Yeah, it looks like. I'm not so sure that how they designed it, but it looks like to me as an acoustic architect that they have a lot of actually absorber materials. For example, the seats that we are right now sitting are absorber. Also, like, we can see on the ceiling already the panels that are acoustic absorber. And another thing in acoustics, very important, the function. Right now the students are using this room for working and studying, so we don't have almost no cups or plates or like clashing sounds. Like
we have
some.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is the sound of a spoon touching a cup. This little sound here, what does it do in the room? If we could see it, what would happen? What would you see?
Your cup is becoming your sound source, and then the table is becoming the sound source because they are touching each other. But for example, if the students are laughing or like they are speaking with each other, that one we hear from the air. You can think like that. Your neighbor in the upstairs, if they are walking or running, you hear that sound in a very different way than if they are singing.
That's true.
Exactly. These are two types of transmissions of the sound, and we calculate them or isolate them with the different methods.
For us podcasters, this means never place the microphone directly on the table. And where should you place yourself with the interview partner? If we see this room with this bluish and grey sofas with the huge glass windows, would it be a mistake to go closer to the windows?
It depends. For example, if you would like to sing, play violin or piano, something more musical and needs more reflections, then it would be a very good idea to be in front of a window. If you would like to have more understandable, clear interview, then maybe it is better to go for the absorber spaces like we have, like on the sofa.
Okay, this brings me to the idea to
put the microphone not down upwards, but upwards down.
Yeah, exactly. Then you have more in the direction of the kind of couch, so you have less reflections around your microphone.
Which is true. I can hear that.
Let's step into history.
When did mankind start to think about acoustics?
It seems like quite early, because we have the acoustic design parameters in the antique theaters. I'm from Izmir, for example, and we have like so many theaters there, like antique theaters, antique places. Ephesus is there. So it's very exciting to see those places also. And they sound in a way that, for example, if you speak in the middle of that theater, you can really hear everything in the behind. And you can see the angle of the seatings that is planned for that one.
You can still try it out today. A whisper on stage can still be heard in the top tiers. Up to 10,000 visitors sat in the semicircle and talked to each other. Their conversations would not be heard outside. The voices of the actors on stage, on the other hand, were reflected by the back walls and the marble of the stage floor. Acoustics like this are high architecture, but it was not always successful.
For sure, traditional design methods are like building. If it doesn't work, they break it down. There are also many failed buildings like that, and then build again. But from like 1920s, we are approaching as a scientific way to the acoustics, and we are going to that successful halls, successful places, measuring them, learning about their parameters. And right now with the for sure computation, we are simulating that before building the building, we can hear its sound.
Aisha wrote her master thesis on historical concert halls. She then developed software that simulates the path of instrumental sounds in a room. All her knowledge went into it.
And I've heard there was an architect in Rome, Vitruv is its name. Do you know him?
Oh, he has like a complete book about that. It's also very interesting because, for example, he didn't just work on acoustics, but also the kind of length of the streets and the wind and the sun angle. It's really like a main book. For example, when we are passing in Hafen City in a lot of buildings, we have like such a strong wind and it's very annoying.
I hadn't put that together yet. And the annoying wind noises on the podcast recordings can also have something to do with architecture. Of course they do. And of course we should always have a fur windscreen for the microphone. When have you first time paid attention to the room, listening to the room? Do you remember that?
Yes, I think I was like 5 and I was in the opera. That was amazing. Everything about that was amazing. Costumes were amazing, sound was amazing, the room was amazing. I really fell in love also with the architecture maybe in the similar age, but I didn't realize. I just thought it is part of a music actually, the complete thing. And then the more that I learned about it, the better I understood that actually we can't think music separated than its room.
So simple, so true. And of course, this also applies to podcast recordings. It's time to explore more rooms acoustically. We walk towards a steel door.
So now take care. This is my sound. Right now we talk like that. And then let's go inside of a more reflective area and you can hear more. So now we are in the reflective area, and I think most likely your sound also changed, right?
I hear a lot of reverb. Is it reverb?
Exactly. That is like a reflection, because as you see here, there are no acoustic absorber material here. I mean, every material is a little bit absorber, but this is less absorber than it's reflective. So let's check here the stones on the wall. There are so many stones that are really reflective. We have some steel, we have some concrete, and they are all flat, big surfaces that almost everything is reflecting here.
I have to admit, I like it. It's a bit like in a church. I mean, you sound so famous now.
Exactly, you could actually sing here, like in a much better version than the kind of other observer room. At least I would love to have it here. So, for example, if you go to that direction more, let's check if it's getting even more reflective, and you almost start to not understand anymore if I'm talking with another person in the same time here. Because as you hear, the reflections are coming too late.
Too late?
So, let's say too late and count until still you hear something. Too late.
7 seconds?
You see? It's really long. And that is what we call reverberation time. Yeah, usually we are measuring it. Also, for example, we are designing the spaces accordingly. If you are designing a church, your reverberation time is really higher than if you're designing a recording studio, then you have to really go less and less. If you are having the less reverberation time, it means your room is really absorber. For example, cinemas.
Exactly, yeah. This clearly shows the difference between smooth and absorbent surfaces in a recording. Reverb and reverberation time also have a psychological effect in sound recordings.
We are a little bit less sensitive, let's say, or maybe we have too much noise in day everywhere, so we have to kind of plug in our ears and can't really anymore concentrate on what we are hearing because we don't want to maybe hear everything. But there is also a twist on that. I think recently that we are thinking as scientists that we can hear not only from our ears, but we can hear from our all cells.
We take the elevator up to Aisha's office.
Maybe it's also a very good idea to record it in the elevator because it's a smaller space. And this elevator is not that kind of absorber or not that reflective, so it's quite in the middle. But the glass plate and the roof makes it kind of more reflective than the usual elevators. But if we would have, for example, the same material like a carpet up there, it would be really reducing much more because in the small spaces, you can kind of feel that with the every surface, it gets more and more clear. Your recordings.
Yeah, and it sounds more intimate than in a big room.
Yeah.
And that's.
In this window surface, we get the kind of absolute absorption because what is happening in the open window is just sound goes away.
Opening the window for an audio recording is therefore a good idea, in principle. Unless there is a streetcar stop or a cruise ship arriving. Because there really is a jetty, we leave the window closed. Can you hear this during the explanation of the acoustic software?
There is a very colorful drawing.
Yeah.
With lots of gray, red, blue, yellow points in the room. What does it tell us?
Exactly. You see this little green areas?
Yeah, there are some dots.
Those are seats. That, for example, this is in the front row, this is on the second row, and the people are sitting on that seats, and we can see these four seats are getting the very early reflections from the anything on the stage.
Yeah, the better places are in front, so the front rows are more expensive. And what do we have in the last rows? Is it still good music?
Yes, sure. It's totally design is totally possible with a perfect kind of hearing conditions from the stage. You can always design the panels, walls, material in a correct way, the angles. Then you will have the same hearing quality behind and the front. That is totally having a solution in acoustic science. Just it needs to be really calculated. It needs to be really valued by the audience, by the builders, by the architects, designers. also hotels, concert halls. So there are a lot. And it's not only one room, that is also including the next rooms and the neighbor rooms. For example, if you are building a hotel, then you have to take into account every room, because what we hear only in the concert hall is also still valid in, for example, in spa or like in the gym areas or in clubs, in restaurants.
The fact that surround sound at live events can be optimized to such an extent is good news for all of you who can only afford a ticket for the back rows at concerts. We just have to appreciate and want good acoustics, just like the composers at all times.
The concert hall architecture, the changement of the architecture is parallel with the music. I was researching on that in my master thesis. And I was more focusing on the Western music. So there are different types of music for sure and the rooms, but I was focusing more on the West and the Europe. So there we can clearly see how Wagner is putting the orchestra to the downstairs, and that there is another kind of an architectural needs than what are the priorities. We can see also different rooms, how the composers kind of composed accordingly. And I think most likely Mozart or Beethoven, for example, they knew how the concert hall will sound with their composition, and they exactly tailored to the concert hall, most likely, their pieces.
A little thought game.
If Beethoven would step into the Elbphilharmonie, how would his music change if he would compose still?
I think in Elbphilharmonie, I found it really beautiful as an architectural kind of overview. I think it's quite beautiful inside. You feel good. I feel good about it.
It's a gem.
But for acoustics, I'm not so sure. Because, for example, I think Beethoven would put maybe even more bass than he used in his pieces. And yeah, maybe he would use maybe more musicians. Because the stage is in the middle there, which is not making the room sounding completely in sound in its own potential. It is a little bit, let's say, thin, in my opinion, yes, in a more scientific or more statistical way than us. But what I would think, like, he would maybe make a stronger sound. So because his compositions are quite strong, quite like structured, maybe he would put the musicians to the audience, or maybe he would add more layers on the stage.
Now that you've followed us this far, you've probably thought about your next recording. Will you incorporate surround sound, record on location, or go on an audio tour? My tip, record a minute of surround sound too, for the fades, maybe also the commentary. And pay attention to how the sound develops in the room and how it's different when the microphone is tilted or turned.
If you get more conscious about the soundscapes around you, after a while you're really getting like into another kind of a world that you were maybe not conscious before.
So let's listen to the music and every sound that appeals to us. Thank you.
Thank you too.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening. I hope you got some tips and inspiration for your science podcast. You can find links to the topics of the episode in the show notes. New episodes of Science Goes podcasts are available once a month in German. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. And don't forget to make it rain stars. You know how important this is for podcasters. Do you have any questions, feedback, or a topic suggestion? Please tell me. The email address is sgp@christiane-zwick.de. See you next time on Science Goes Podcast.